Season 2, Episode 13, Travels with Andy. It opens up with Medavoy and Sipowicz.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's them in the break room. Yeah. Opens up with Medavoy and Sipowicz in the break room. They start talking about, I don't know, like life in general. And then Sylvia comes in, and Medavoy leaves.
Yeah, and they start talking about the wedding. She went and had breakfast with her papa.
And she's talking about how she's excited to have an Orthodox wedding.
What does she call her dad?
Is it Papa? I don't know.
I think so. Something fucking foreign and weird.
Wow. Okay.
Well, the way she says it, my Papa!
Well, they're Greek. They're full-blooded Greeks, dude. Like, they do that kind of shit. We don't know. But,
like, from Zeus?
Yeah, from Zeus. All those Greeks from Zeus.
Full-blooded. You said full-blooded Greeks like it means something.
It does.
Oh!
Oh, that's rude.
Greek burn.
Sylvia Costas. Straight up Greek. Sipowicz suggests that they go to a courthouse in upstate New York, and Sylvia gets...
Doesn't he say Maryland?
Okay, yeah, somewhere. Was it Maryland?
I think he says Maryland. He says one word. One word. Maryland. And then she gets all pissed off.
And she gets really upset. She gets that girlfriend or wife upset where right after it happens, you know, okay, well, I'm going to have to deal with this for a couple days.
But can I ask a question?
You can ask many questions.
Did she not think, like, did it ever cross her mind, like, oh shit, like, Andy is not going to be cool with this wedding. Like, this dude doesn't like me getting in the shower with him. He's not going to want to be in front of all these people doing stupid shit.
Well, I think what bothered her is she's talking about, like, oh, all of the pageantry and the tradition of a Greek Orthodox wedding, and then he's like, why don't we just go to Maryland and elope, make it quick? She even says, no, I don't want to elope like a sailor with a hooker.
Yeah, but she's... I think she's overreacting, because I don't think that's what Andy meant. I think Andy just wanted something intimate, just them. And she's thinking, because she's thinking more, like, family, big, everyone's involved. And also, like, I was also watching Friends the other day. I was watching Friends yesterday, and there's the episode where they're in London.
Uh-huh.
And Emily and Ross are going to get married, and then, like, the places, like, where they're going to get married is being torn down, and so Emily freaks out, and Ross is like, we're getting married no matter what. And Monica gives him shit, like, you know, she's been planning this day since she was, like, a little girl. You haven't, blah, blah, blah. So there's kind of a little bit of that with Costas, like, you know, just being a chick.
Just being a chick.
Just menstruating.
Just...
menstruation.
Sipowicz and Simone, and I think Medavoy, too, go to a homicide where it's two males and a female...
At a diner, right?
At a diner, and a gunshot to the back of the head while kneeling.
Yeah, execution style.
The owner of the restaurant or diner, he's talking about it, and he's like, wow, I can't believe this happened. At one point, he's like, that's a tough break for them. Just like, that's being murdered execution. Yeah, being murdered execution style is not really a tough break. That's kind of, not, that's a little harsher.
I mean, it kind of is a tough break.
Also, the way that, maybe he's just a bad actor, but the way the owner was speaking to Simone, I was like, so he was involved in this somehow. Because he seemed so unnatural.
A little bit. It was a little off. It didn't make sense.
But then he had nothing to do with it. I think it was just a bad actor. I think they got a bad one day guy.
They get those every now and then.
James Martinez and Lesniak look up a attempted rape of a 64-year-old woman.
Again, another reason just to put them together. oh my god, they're the worst.
And they're going to go to the hospital to go check it out. The parents of the girl that was
at the hospital, she runs into an old high school friend or something, and they immediately are like wet for each other.
Well, what's really funny, if you watch that scene, is, like, I'm not saying he's a bad actor.
Cause that dude has a weird fucking face, right? Like, let's get that out on here right now. Like,
weird fucking face
that,
alert.
I've seen that guy in other things before, but he's got, like...
It's an audio medium, Kyle.
He's got, like, resting, like, weird face.
The face you made does not, like, remind me of the guy at all, but I'll agree with
you. Whatever, dude. He's got a weird face.
The thing I was gonna say is, like, Martinez does such a horrible job of, like, pretending he's not upset that this doctor's moving in.
He does a really bad job, too. Because, yeah, he's just, like, super aggressive, like an overprotective brother more than a boyfriend, you know? It was really weird.
It also doesn't help that he's, like, 5'2", and I think Lesniak's taller than him, and then that guy is taller than both of them. So he looks like a little brother between them as they're talking.
Dude, doesn't Martinez have, like, a weird walk?
I didn't notice that at all, but now I'm gonna think about
it. Go watch him, like, walk when he's just, like, walking normally. Like, he has, like, a weird, like, bounce to his step. Like...
Like, he's always...
It's a very non-threatening walk. And the fact that he has, like, such kind of, like, a squeaky voice, even when he yells at people, it's not that threatening.
He's like the 15-year-old of the precinct. He walks like
he's... Like, Andy has, like, a normal voice, and then when he's yelling, you know he's pissed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when Martinez is yelling at you, it's kind of like, okay, are you, like... I don't think you're pissed, I just think you're, like, kind of angry.
I'll have to look out for that. Everyone, look for Martinez and see what he's living like.
You just need to sleep on it, and then everything will be cool.
The story with that, the guy is the doctor helping out the old woman, and he's like, yeah, she's beat up pretty bad, it's not looking great, but I'm optimistic, and there was no penetration, so the rape kit will come back negative, but she was assaulted.
Uh-huh.
They get the story, it was a guy in a red and black baseball jacket. Max!
An Indian. Not Cochise.
That was another strange part, when they talked to that bus driver.
But from India.
It was also, like, did you feel it was kind of racist? Just kind of racist.
Oh, 100%.
When the woman, like, the woman was,
My favorite part was when they go, they're questioning him, and he's like, Indian, no, not Cochise. And then Martinez goes, are you sure he wasn't black? And then he goes, oh, you got a brother up in here, now you're trying to put it on me, huh? No, he was Indian. I drive a bus all day, I know my races, or something like that. I thought that was a pretty funny line.
But, like, I didn't feel like that was... how do I put this? I didn't feel like that was that racist, where the guy was, like, Indian. And he's like, wait, did Martinez say, like... what did he say? Was Martinez the one that clarified with the terms? I think so.
I don't remember what he said, though.
But the woman, when the woman's being interviewed about the attempted rape, she's like, oh, I couldn't see his face, he was wearing nylons. Yeah. But I saw his hands. And then she whispers, they were black. Like, that, I felt like that was weird. Like, you can't just say that he had black hands, and then it turns out he wasn't black, he was Indian. So, like, that part was really weird for me, because I'm like, what?
That's just Bochco and Milch's portrayal of white privilege in America. That they see dark, they see a different color of skin, they automatically assume black. When really there's a bunch of people that rape.
Rape is not colorblind.
I don't know what I was talking about there.
Well, it's also interesting because then the black bus driver, they're like, oh, what did he look like? He's like, oh, he was Indian. And then the guy's like, sure, he wasn't black. And then immediately he's like, okay, so you want it to be a black guy, but it wasn't a black guy.
Yeah, and then, like, after he looks at the books for a while and he's like, this could be it, he goes on, like, another rant about being a black guy in a police station.
Does he?
I think so. Like, it's like a mini one.
Anyway, we're skipping ahead with that storyline. Andy and Simone bring in the parents of the girl that died, and they have a possible suspect, this guy that used to be in the trouble with the law.
Who was dating her. Yes.
His name, I had it written down. But they kind of give him, like, oh, well, you know, we thought he wasn't good for her, and he did have trouble with the law, and we don't know if he did this, but it's terrible to think that he did.
Yeah.
So they bring him
into... If I remember correctly, they're kind of being tough with him, like, overly tough with him a little bit, I felt like.
With the guy?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they thought maybe he did this.
Yeah, when they found him.
It's also, the guy does hide something. Because they bring him in. His name is Harry Benson. They bring him in and they say, oh, well, we understand that you've had a relationship with a girl. She showed up dead with those two other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you? And he's like, I was at home. And it turns out he wasn't at home. He did go to see her that night, but he didn't want to say he went to see her because he knew that they'll pin it on him. The only thing that gets them off of him is that they get a call from like a random small town police station.
And they found, that's right, sorry, yeah, and they found receipts in his, and they found receipts on this man from that diner,
mm-hmm.
along with other knickknacks.
And, like, they had a couple gun charges on him, and they're like, oh, well, maybe we should call him and let him sort it out.
Yeah.
So they just keep that dude there while they go to see the other guy. I think they kept him there for, like, a day and a half.
No, just the night. Because doesn't Sipowicz go, like, how long is that going to take to get out there? Mm-hmm. And then I thought it was like, oh, it's going to, like, it's like a 4-hour drive.
But yeah, they leave him there overnight. Because they don't go till the next morning.
Yeah, so they leave. Sorry, I got confused on the guys you were talking about. So they left the guy Harry. Left him in, like, the holding cell overnight. Yeah. You're right, sorry.
And then they went the next day, and then even after 4 hours of driving, there was another group of cops there on different charges.
And they beat them there.
So they...
And because they're in this, like, Hoboken backwoods town, that first come, first serve.
And so they have to, like, hang out at that town for a couple hours, and then they get to interrogate him, and then after that they get to bring him back. So, that's, like, that's a whole day on top of the night that he spent...
And then had to come back.
So he was there a while.
Yeah.
The one thing, it's pretty clear that Martinez is unhappy that they're going to go on a date, because like every time they talk, the doctor and Lesniak, it's like, oh, well, let's go hang out. Like, here's my number. Blah blah blah. Let's go get drinks.
Yeah, he. It's really creepy.
It's creepy to be unhappy that. Your coworker's no, going on a date.
It's just creepy, like, how into Lesniak he is.
Because you find Lesniak repulsive?
No, it's just that he's way too... Like, I get it, you like her, and it's probably hard that, like, she doesn't like you back, or you can't express your feelings, but you're being, like, really, really, like, pushy sometimes. I don't know, for me, it just felt really weird.
It did seem pretty weird. I agree with you. It's also like NYPD Blue would do things in an episode that like other shows or shows now would do over like three episodes. Like every single scene Lesniak and Martinez talk about the rape, they also bring up this dating thing. Just right after.
Which is weird too.
Like right after or before. And if this was like even The Office or Lost, well. Great references, Kirk. Doesn't watch TV now. How could you tell? like, it would take a handful of episodes to establish, oh, Martinez digs her. Oh, she met this doctor.
Pick something fucking current, man.
I don't know anything current. The Good Wife.
You could have said, like, Breaking Bad. I don't know.
Okay, well, the point is, it would take a lot longer than what it took for Martinez to express his feelings and his opinion on the relationship, and they're already going out, and he talks to Lesniak about it. Like, it happens so fast as opposed to other shows, where it would just be, it would take a while.
Yeah.
So, Andy and Bobby Simone need to go out to this nowhere town to check on this guy.
And they're driving off the grid.
They're driving in the farming areas.
They're driving in the upstate New York, they're driving in, like, the state of New York, where it's, like, backwoodsy. And has, like, farms.
Simone is really digging it. Like, he's got sunglasses on. He's really enjoying the view. And Andy is just, like, pissy as shit that he has to go out to this town.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's really funny, actually.
Oh, and I wrote this down. Before that trip, the night before, when Andy goes home, he has a silent fight with Sylvia. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah. She doesn't say anything.
Those are the best. The silent fights, where he's like, okay, so are we going to talk about this? And she's like, no. And just
she doesn't say no. She's like, yeah, are you ready to accept that you're wrong and we're going to do it my way? and Andy's kind of like, I don't get it. Andy's like, no. And then she's like, fuck you then.
They don't even talk about that issue. What they talk about is Andy comes home and says, hey, I gotta be up at like 3 in the morning or like 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, also, and then she like perks up like, oh, we're gonna talk about the problem. And he goes, should I shower now or in the morning? Because I don't want to wake you up. And then she's like, fine, I guess we're not talking about this. And like rolls over. And then he's like, well, let's talk about the marriage thing. And then she's like, nope, I don't want to talk about it. And it was like...
Yeah, because she's expecting him to come in and go, hey, I was wrong, my bad, I'm an idiot. She wasn't expecting this, like, dumbass runaround shit.
Yeah, fine. I think I agree with you. They're both not in the place to discuss it. That's good writing, where both of them are not willing to accept that the other person needs to be heard.
I don't know, I kind of feel like she should be heard, because the wedding's, like, a really big deal for women. So it should make her happy, do what she wants to do.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the safe bet. Do what, like, let her do what she would like to do, and then you get to have, like, one little thing and be happy with it.
I get more than one. So, on the way there, they're having, like, a deep conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pull over, and Andy flies birds.
No, Bobby flies birds. Andy pisses on a fence in front of a cow, and then tells the cow to move.
No, but doesn't Andy pick up one of the birds and lets it go?
Yeah, but Bobby's the one that breaks them out and then goes, they're my home and pigeons. It's a
big step for Andy to even pick up a bird.
They're my home and pigeons. And he starts picking them up, and he starts looking at their wings, which is weird. I don't know anything about pigeon owning. But, like, it seems like every time you pick up a pigeon, you gotta check the wings.
Well, my question is, why are we okay with people owning pigeons? Aren't they filthy and disgusting?
Well, in New York, man, I guess people have pigeons. That's just the thing.
Fuck, like, and what the fuck are you gonna do with a pigeon?
You use them for homing, where you, like, write messages or something. I don't know. I don't know. It's like the owls in Harry Potter.
It's just so weird to me. But it's just weird.
And he had a bunch. He had so many pigeons. He had like 2 dozen pigeons.
But it's a thing, though. Like, it's things that people, like, enjoy doing. Like, it's just weird to me.
I also, they get to the cop. They get to the police station at the town. And they're all, like, super wholesome, like, down country folk. Like, they're decently good at their job. Like, they give them the evidence, and they tell them what's up, and...
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, like... But they're more excited that, like, New York cops are here.
Oh, yeah. They take a picture for the paper.
They're so stoked that, like, big city cops are here. They could give a fuck about the other cops that are there. They're just so excited that these, like, Manhattan police officers are in their small little town.
And for, like, half a minute...
And Zipwitz ain't having any of that fucking sheriff shit.
No, he wants to get shit done and go back home.
Immediately when that sheriff starts talking, Zipwitz is like, fuck this garbage. Like, I'm not having it. And the sheriff's like... The sheriff's basically like Ned Flanders. Just oakley-dokely all day and shit.
There was a part of me that wished that this spawned into a... NYPD Blue spinoff show called, like, I don't know what town they were in. I wish I wrote it down. Where it's just, like, their crimes. Like, which originated. Like, like, cow tipping and everybody knows each other. Max!
There was one, Kirk. It was called the Andy Griffith Show.
They go to this town and they don't have first dibs. Because the other cops got there first on a different charge. Mm-hmm. So he's like, why don't you go explore the town? And Sipwitz is like, what the fuck? Really? Like, we drove four hours and
Simba's like, fuck this nonsense, I gotta get back home.
And Simone, Simone was like, I saw a cool antique place. And Sibwitz looks at him like, are you fucking serious? He's like, we have to kill time, Andy. Like, I'm not being an asshole. We gotta do something.
Yeah, well, I mean, because you know, as you and I both know, antiquing means gay. So, Sibwitz doesn't do that.
Sibwitz
doesn't do that feminine shit. That's when they start talking about different rings. He's like, oh, I don't know what rings Sylvia likes. And then Simone, I think, is the best answer. He's like, that's something you're going to want to find out.
Well, I don't know if they're rings. I don't know what they were called.
Different style of rings, but like cuts and stuff.
So they're looking at stuff in the... And Sipowicz is trying to call Sylvia to be like, he's going to be late, and she's not answering the phone. It's also so funny when, like, you watch older TV shows, and there's a moment where, like, they have to use the phone inside the antique store, and you're like, oh, yeah. People didn't have cell phones yet, to the point that they have them now.
Wait, repeat that?
Like, in the episode, Andy calls Sylvia's office from the antique store, and he's on the phone in the antique store, and I was like, oh, shit, that's right, they don't have cell phones. Because normally he would just, like, send, like, well, not normally. Nowadays he would just send a text to Sylvia from his phone that says, hey, I'm going to be later.
Okay.
So, like, that moment where, like, I think Simone is looking around the store, and then Andy's like, yeah, I'm going to be late, so if you could let her know that I'll try and call around 1. And then he hangs up the phone, and I was like, oh, that's right. People didn't have phones on them all the time.
Yeah, they had to, like, ask the store if they could borrow it. Yeah,
that sounds so awesome in so many weird ways.
At my job now, we have some people who come in and ask if they can use our phone.
Not a lot of phones in the...
No, it's just some people don't have a phone. I mean, and we normally say yes, as long as you're quick. Anyways, moving on.
Rape case gets worse because they get the Indian guy, they have him in custody, and while they have him, the woman dies.
Yeah, so it goes from attempted to manslaughter or murder.
And they want to play it close to the chest because they know if the guy finds out it's a murder, he'll lawyer up. Like, immediately. Because the guy even mentioned, do I need a lawyer, I think.
Yeah.
And then, in the interrogation, the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about, I didn't do anything. Martinez is like, then give me your jacket. And it was like, it just doesn't, it's not intimidating when Martinez, like, demands a jacket.
You mentioned it last time. He's like 5'9", 5'7", he's short.
And he has that voice.
I mean, I like him, like, it's funny because I really liked him in the first season, but, like, somewhere along the way, he just kind of loses his, like, cool detective vibe in the second season.
Well, I think he seemed more scrappy in the first season. Like, he didn't seem like the strongest guy, but he seemed like the guy that would work the hardest and, like, chase down a dude and, like, jump over. It was, like, he jumped down.
Like, he wanted to learn on in a weird way, you know?
And now that he's, like, a respected member of the detective squad, like, now he's going to focus his energy on trying to, like, get Lesniak, who's, like, the least interesting female character we've had so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess it's just not as cool.
Mm-hmm. It was just, like, the two most boring people put together.
So the chief of this small town, he comes in with, like, a cup of coffee to the antique shop. And he's like,
super nonchalantly, too.
He's like, hey, so those guys got done with the guy, so you're up. And like, he just walked over to the antique place, like, yeah, I heard you came over here, so that guy's freed up if you want to talk to him.
Well, it took them asking for him to tell them.
Oh, yeah.
Sipowicz is like, how's our suspect? He's like, oh, that's what I was coming over here to tell you guys. They just finished up with him about 10-15 minutes ago.
That's awesome. So they go in on the guy, and
yeah.
Famous face, they're suspect.
And it's home, right?
Huh?
And it's home.
No. They interrogate him first.
That's right.
They interrogate him first. They get nothing because all he's doing is insulting them. But famous face, that is Anthony Michael Hall.
Boom, 16 candles.
16 candles, Breakfast Club. Was he in Pretty in Pink?
No, no, he's in Weird Science.
Weird Science. Also, if you're a fan of another fantastic show, he was the bully in the first Christmas episode of Community. No Sleeves.
Yep.
One of my favorite characters from Community, because he was hilarious. My life is
bro,
a gym.
I don't care what happens today. We're getting into a fight at Applebee's.
If they don't show up, we're going to Applebee's, because I'm definitely having a fight today.
Yeah, if they don't show up, yeah. If they don't show up, yeah.
Are you perpetually going to the gym? My life is a gym.
It's instead, dork.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch that episode.
I love when he grabs the paper snowflake or snowman and staples it to his forehead. And he's just like,
you're taking all the winter doodles.
Maybe if you want it to sound menacing, maybe you shouldn't call the cookie by its name.
There's only macadamia nut cookies there. I have a tree nut allergy. Well, maybe you should stay away from Christmas-shaped cookies. That didn't even make any allergic sense. Oh, man. And that's the episode where Chang, he just lets this bully walk in and fuck with Jeff. And he's like, are you going to do anything about this? I'll allow it.
Because it's Duncan, right?
No, it's a Chang. It's Ken Jeong.
Oh, that's right.
And then after they like yell at each other, he's like, "Fine, after school, by the wheel, by the bike racks." He's like, "The one in front of there? No, the one in front of the wheelchair ramp." And then Chang goes, "Best test ever."
I forgot. It's in the middle of the test.
Oh man, so good.
Anyways.
He's sitting there yelling at him. He says, "Bite my ass." And Sipwood says, "If you tell me to bite my ass one more time, you'll be gum and food, douchebag."
Oh my god.
And then I think he yells at Sipwood, at Simone, and Simone even goes like, "Look here, we're gonna get you." Like, he just gets like super frustrated. It's like one of the few times Simone even is like broken by the suspect.
Well, it's probably super frustrating for them to have to drive all the way out there and then take shit from this guy, you know?
Yeah.
Even though they have all this evidence.
So, they go out to where that guy lives with his parents. And
yeah, it's like in the boonies, right?
Yeah, and his dad and mom are super not cool with the police because they're like, he's a good boy.
Yeah, they're weird, too. They got problems, too.
And they find out through Medavoy doing some other detective work that one of the things that was not on the person that was stolen was like a gold cross with an inscription in it.
Yeah.
They go to investigate this kid's house where his parents are living, actually, where he's living with his parents, and the mom is wearing the gold cross, and the dad tries to hit them with a bat, which...
Yes.
Which they...
he kind of sneaks it.
He sneaks over to the bat and then tries to swing at him with it.
Yeah.
And they say out loud, which I don't know why, because at that point I'd be like, you know what, fuck you, dude. Like, sometimes they do this, and I feel it's totally justified. This one I don't. Where the guy tries to hit him with a bat, they wrestle him to the ground, and then they say, look, we know you're going through a hard time right now because your son did these things, but we're not going to jam you up for this. We just need him. And they take the cross off the wife and leave. And it's like, fuck that noise. Process that dude for assaulting an officer. The dude's being a piece of shit.
Yeah, tried to brain you with a bat.
And it's not like...
He's not innocent.
And it's not like they don't know something's going on. He brought them, like, jewelry and money for a TV and a microwave. And the fucker doesn't, like, work. They don't know what he does. That's why I was like, no. You're basically complicit in this guy's actions right now. You may not know that he's a murderer, but I don't care. Like, you're going in for trying to beat me with a bat when all I'm trying to do is talk to you.
They were just a bunch of weirdos. So their kid was all weird. So when Sipwood gets home, it's still a little icy.
Oh yeah, it's super icy.
But Sylvia does that, like, I'm talking to you, but I'm still mad at you. But I'm like, only women are like this because they're rational enough to be like, okay, I'm not going to keep ignoring you. Like, a man would keep ignoring a woman because he's just dumb. But, like, a woman is like, okay, I obviously can't keep ignoring you. We live together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get married. And what we're arguing about is important, but it's not important enough to not talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to talk to you, but don't you forget that I'm fucking furious.
And that's actually the very, very end of the episode, is the... But let's talk about two things really quick. When they talk to Mr. Patel, I think his name is Rajiv Patel, the guy with the attempted rape.
Yeah.
He's just playing dumb, and it's kind of really annoying. Like, he's just like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. And then...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
And then they test his jacket for mace, and it has mace on it, and the woman maced the guy who did it, and now she's dead. So what they say is, hey, man, we have you dead to rights that you did this. You either need to get in front of it or not. Not mentioning that she died. And he says, he's like, I don't know why I do these things. I just, like, rolled up on her and started hitting her. I don't understand. Maybe that's the point, that he's just, like, crazy and violent, but, like, what?
Well, it's like when some people, like, have a problem, like, or, like, get caught showing their wiener to people, like flashers. They'll say that. They'll be like, I don't know what makes me do it. It's just, like, I have to do it. You know? Same thing with child molesters. Some of them are like, I don't know what makes me do it, but I have to do it. You know what I mean? So I kind of, like, I guess I kind of get it. It's just that he's really, like, soft-spoken about it and not a weirdo. He doesn't really come off as a weirdo. He just comes off scared. You know? But I didn't like what the cops did. The cops are basically like, yeah, we got you for this attempted rape. And then he's like, okay, I did it. And then they're like, never mind. We got you for murder, too.
Well, they didn't even tell him that in this episode.
But dump.
Like, they don't even tell him, like, oh, yeah, by the way, we have you for murder. They just said...
They're going to let him find out later and then be, like, royally fucked.
They're just having him write down that he 100% beat the fuck out of her. And then the... Yeah. James... attempts to ask Lesniak out and gets friend-zoned, as the kids say.
Oh, the kids, huh?
Yeah, the kids. All of them are saying it.
The kids? Really? You know what the kids are doing?
And Simone finds out his birds came home, so he's happy.
Yeah, because those birds make him come home.
Oh, and then another fantastic quote. Sipowicz is taking the guy in. And he goes, this is wrong. And Sipowicz says, so is doing it with sheep, but I bet you do that too.
Yeah, that was a good Sipowicz line. I like that one.
It all ends with Sylvia initiating the talk about the wedding. And the thing I took from it, probably the best, is that they actually act like a real couple would. Like, it seems like very, very genuine, the entire show.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point where you're like, oh, well, they're just actors on a show. It's like, oh, wow, they're really doing a hell of a job pretending to be these people who are, like, dealing with a fight such as this. And Simone, Sipowicz just kind of goes, yeah, we'll do whatever you want. Like, I've been to the country, I don't like the country. If you want a big wedding, we'll do a big wedding in the city, and we'll do it your way. But the thing that's hilarious... is Sipowicz gives her something from the antique shop?
Hey, he gives her a ring.
Is it a ring?
Yeah.
Because they used a word that I've never heard before or since.
I just think it's a style of ring or a cut.
Because it had a Greek goddess of love on it.
Yeah.
Now, here's my suggestion, and I might be wrong, probably not. He gives her the Greek goddess of love on a ring.
Uh-huh.
And then they get kind of tender, and he goes, you know what she's meant to inspire. Did he buy that to get laid?
No.
No,
I think he bought the ring to show her that he's serious about the wedding.
Because this ends with them basically getting to the bone zone.
Yeah. I think it was a... what is that word they say when you, like, what's that word that they use for, like, when you're going to war and you're, like, bombing a village and you, like, kill most of the enemy, but then there might be, like, some people who aren't, like,
accidental.
I don't know. But, like,
collateral damage?
Sex is just, like, a cherry on top. He bought it to smooth things over. I don't think he was looking for sex.
He bought things to smooth things over, and then I don't know where I was going with that. I thought if I set it up, I'd come up with a good sex joke. But turns out I didn't have anything in the tank. So instead, I just said something and then stopped. So yeah,
I don't think he was like specifically looking for sex. Hmm. I just think it came out of it, and he's not gonna say no.
Yeah. It was just funny because of the way they were speaking to each other, and then it just ended with, like, them boning. And I was like, oh, well, Sipowicz got a clever way in there. Well, that's basically the end of the episode. Every episode of NYPD Blue is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com and where you find podcasts. There is no place to stream NYPD Blue, so buy the DVDs, or if you want to do it by illegal means, that's your business. We do not encourage it, but this is Kirk, and the other voice has been Kyle. Kyle, do you have anything you want to say, recommend, instill into the audience?
What's the next episode? We should preview the next episode.
Next episode is A Murder with Teeth in It. It's actually a really, really good episode. It's one of the episodes I actually have a full page of notes and started writing in the margins.
What's it about? Just give me a quick.
There's a pimp stabbed to death in a, well, a flop house.
And, yes, okay, I know which one that is.
And as they investigate it, it turns out the man responsible may be close to our detectives.
Yeah, I remember that.
Watch NYPD Blue and be good to each other.
I guess real quick, they're making a new Predator movie, so watch that.